isn't home where we all want to be? Reba here for Realtor.com, the pros' number one most trusted app. Finding a home is like dating. You're searching for the one. With over 500,000 new listings every month, you could find the one today. Download the Realtor.com app because you're nearly home. Make it real with Realtor.com.
Pros number one most trusted app based on August 2024 proprietary survey. Over 500,000 new listings every month based on average new for sale and rental listings. February 2024 through January 2025.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Friday, October 10th. I'm Julie Chang for The Wall Street Journal. Artificial intelligence is transforming how companies manage risk. We'll hear from two executives about how they're leveraging AI to navigate legal and regulatory challenges. And then, Microsoft wants its AI chatbot to gain independence from ChatGPT, and it thinks healthcare is the way to do it. We've got the exclusive details on that effort. But first, advancements in AI promise to help companies mitigate risk. But what does that actually look like in practice? At the recent Journal House Singapore event, Dow Jones's Nicholas Elliott sat down with Chee-Kin Lam, Group Head for Legal and Compliance at DBS Bank, and Kelly Gear, Managing Director for Legal and Compliance in Asia, the Middle East, and Africa at FedEx. They talked about different AI use cases that their workplaces have already put into practice. Here's part of that conversation.
Kelly and Chee-Kin, welcome. Kelly, let's turn to you. So I know one of the things you mentioned to me was the using AI in investigations, which is an important part of your job. Can you tell the audience how exactly you've made use of it in that way?
The EMEA region for FedEx is a little over 100 countries and territories. So when you're conducting an internal investigation, you're dealing with a number of different languages. And what AI has helped us do is use recording interviews in investigations, and the transcription function has been particularly helpful. We also have a number of investigators across the region where English is maybe their second or third language. And so writing that investigation report in English is difficult. So our teams have saved so much time in going back and forth with the investigator. Like, is this really how you want to say this? Are you sure this is the word? And so we started having them write the reports in their local language, and then we translate it into English. And it's been phenomenal, the results. And then several years ago, the legal team created a chatbot. These are lawyers. They are not coders. And they got together and developed a chatbot that can answer questions related to our compliance policies. And so it directs them based on the question, the decision tree logic to go to that policy, and then by default, a SharePoint site. And we're hoping to improve on this with more AI in the future. And then my third example is external facing. We've recently developed a tool that helps our customers with the harmonized tariff schedules. If you live in Asia, you might wake up to a new regulation when you're shipping your goods to the US. So we're really proud of this tool. It's on FedEx Ship Manager at FedEx.com. And so whatever item you're shipping into the US specifically, you can describe the item, and this chatbot within this tool will help you describe the item more accurately so that you can get the right harmonized tariff code, and then give you a link directly to the U.S. government site. And of course, this helps with customs clearance for our customers so that their shipments are compliant and get through quickly and don't cause any delays.
I did want to get on to the very important topic of agents. This is AI that has some autonomy. So you set it tasks within certain limits and then let it go. It seems to be a very active, innovative frontier of AI, but it also carries quite a lot of risk. Chee-Kin, what are you doing in that area, in the area of agents?
Your AI governance policy probably needs to be able to distinguish between high-risk use cases and low-risk use cases. So a low-risk use case, hey, would you like this for lunch? And I'll buy the lunch for you. That's okay. But filing a suspicious transaction report, you're effectively calling somebody a criminal, right? You really don't want the AI making that decision. So the AI policy that helps you to make those decisions at scale, 46,000 employees, has to be set up right, proper examples, proper guardrails. Okay. Now then, secondly, don't always call the LLM, because you pay for that. Calling a token and calling tons of tokens and getting all your people constantly calling tokens, your bill is going to be pretty high. So watch out for when you don't need the LLM, when just an API or a robotic process automation step would work. Don't hyper-engineer prompt every single thing that you do. And if you have a prompt, then you do take the risk of that probabilistic calculation spitting out some garbage, right? So don't take that risk if you don't have to.
That was Dow Jones's Nick Elliott speaking with DBS Bank's Chee-Kin Lam and FedEx's Kelly Gear at the recent Journal House Singapore event. You can find the full chat at journalhouse.wsj.com. We put a link in the show notes. Coming up, Microsoft has increased staffing at an internal AI lab that competes with OpenAI. What will this mean for their partnership? That's after the break.
Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying DC politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
As we told you about in yesterday morning's Tech Minute, a new version of Microsoft's Copilot is expected to launch this month, aiming for greater independence from OpenAI's ChatGPT. We report Microsoft is teaming up with Harvard Medical School to enhance Copilot's ability to provide reliable medical information. So chatting with it is more akin to speaking with a healthcare professional. Microsoft hopes that this will make Copilot more competitive in the consumer market. WSJ reporter Sebastian Herrera broke the story. Sebastian, people already ask chatbots like ChatGPT all sorts of medical questions. So how exactly would Copilot be different?
Well, Microsoft wants to have the most accurate and helpful medical advice, and that points people in the right direction. And there is room for improvement in the chatbot industry for this. And that's because there are plenty of examples of people using ChatGPT and getting bad medical information. So for example, there's a study led by researchers at Stanford University from last year that said that out of a bunch of queries that they asked for medical advice, that they got bad advice about 20% of the time. And there's also been reported instances of ChatGPT fueling mental health crisis for people. So Microsoft wants to be the opposite of that. And they're hoping to make Copilot something that people go and use. And if they can figure out the medical part of it, it could be really successful for them.
Where does this leave Microsoft's partnership with OpenAI?
So Microsoft says that the partnership with OpenAI is still really important to them, really valuable. And they do have this agreement in place to extend their partnership for years to come. We'll still see Microsoft and OpenAI be close partners. But as a big tech company, Microsoft is also working to build up its own AI models with the goal of not having to rely on OpenAI, because right now, a lot of their chatbot technology does rely on OpenAI. And so they want to change that. They want to have their own models be used within their chatbot. Their goal is to have Microsoft models replace workloads for Copilot, specifically to replace OpenAI workloads.
Yeah, one thing that caught my eye about your reporting was that Microsoft is increasing staffing at its own internal AI lab. Tell us more about that.
What's been interesting with Microsoft's AI lab, which they created just a year ago, is that a lot of people that have joined it are very new. So if you look at most people who have joined Microsoft AI, a lot of them have been in the past 6 to 9 months. And sources that I've talked to that are familiar with the lab say that they're increasing headcount a lot. And we've also reported on a lot of new hires that they've gotten from Google DeepMind, which is also an AI lab. The CEO there at Microsoft AI, Mustafa Soliman, he was formerly at Google. And so he's been able to attract a lot of people from the Google ecosystem to come work at Microsoft AI. And they've recruited people from startups that are really experienced. They have clinicians on staff, you know, with some of this healthcare initiative.
Sebastian, what challenges is Microsoft up against here?
They're up against a lot of challenges. First of all, trying to innovate in the healthcare industry is extremely challenging. And it's not the first time that Microsoft has tried to do something in the health space. They've tried to manage and organize health data for years. And they haven't really cracked healthcare. A lot of companies haven't as well. So on one end, healthcare is a very tricky space to get into, and they have a huge challenge in trying to innovate in that space. And on the other end, Copilot is very behind OpenAI and other players like Anthropic in terms of people using this product. Not to mention, not only is OpenAI their partner, but it's also their competitor. You know, Microsoft is known as a really big, great enterprise technology company, but they haven't really done a lot in the consumer space that's noteworthy. So by no means is it promised for Microsoft to succeed here in any way.
That was WSJ reporter Sebastian Herrera. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by me, Julie Chang. Jessica Fenton and Michael Laval wrote our theme music. Our development producer is Aisha Al-Muslim. Chris Zinsley is the deputy editor. And Falana Patterson is the Wall Street Journal's head of news audio. We'll be back later this morning with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.
Boardrooms love buzzwords. AI, climate, resilience.
But what do they actually mean for CFOs and execs trying to survive the next earnings call?
That's where the pre-read comes in.
Real experts and real talk.
Subscribe to the pre-read, presented by Workiva.